my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Hi, my name is Nancy Angilak. Today is May 11th, 2021. Welcome to Nipivut. Today, Tina Pizukti speaks with community organizer Paige Kimiksana about her work with Toronto Inuit Association and being a social media influencer, and interviews community advocate Olivia Aiki about her advocacy work. We also play Inuktitut music, so keep listening. Nancy Angilu yung aulumi May 11, 2021. Tunga sukiti ni pibukkunno. Ulumi tina pisukti ukakatakang naktok page kimiksana. Tunga Toronto Mi Inuit Association kunni ikakivikut pidakititisok ama Olivia Aiki pidakikatak tanganu. Inuktitut tusang nang nang mi guna ragitti.
Wearing a mask shows your community that you love and care.
Hi everybody, this is a message from Ivertivik Center in Montreal. Ivertivik is a center that helps Inuit to find a job and go back to school in Montreal or up north. We help 18 years old and over, no exception. You can come visit us in front of Metro Verdun at 4590 Verdun Avenue, or call us at 514-564-3051. We are open Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 12 for participants to come in the center, but in the afternoon from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. only by appointment.
Okay, thank you, Vanita. But how does it work?
Hi, Laura. It is really simple. All you have to do is contact us. We also have a Facebook page that is called Ivertivik. From there, the counselors are going to take care of you.
Okay. Does it cost something to ask for your help?
No, it is free. We even give you allowances and bus tickets when you come every day of the week.
Every day?
Yes, every day. We offer a program that helps you prepare for your interview, make your resume or improve it, help with your IDs to apply for jobs, and more.
Do I have to go to the center to get the help and support?
No, with the pandemic, we are equipped to help you from distance. We can do it by phone, email, FaceTime, and more.
Do we get to have fun in Ivertivik?
Yes, we do. Ivertivik is just not about being serious, but it is also about knowing yourself better, making friends, respecting Inuit culture. Plus, every Friday we offer a creative activity and a gift card for the best attendance.
Thank you, Vanita. That helps a lot.
Thank you, Laura. And don't forget, on the premises, we take health measures really seriously. Everybody must wear a mask at all times, disinfect, and wash their hands and keep the distance.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a job or going back to school, don't be shy to contact us. We hope to see you soon. Have a good day.
Hi, my name is Shauna Sitina, and I would like you to tune into my new song called Hopeless.
People act like they know us. They try to control us. I tend to lose focus. I tend to feel hopeless.
If life was fair, what struggles wouldn't we have? I have a lot to share. Most of it makes me sad. I don't really know where to begin to travel in my territory. Cost an arm and a limb. I finally saw my little sister after 7 years. It was so hard to leave without shedding any tears. And it wasn't even for a visit cause she lost somebody. I would take it back with me if I had the money. People try to comment on it. That's not even funny. They just come here for the cash. Then they get on running. Then they have the nerve to tell us that we're always wanting. Just sitting behind the screen.
Tina Pisukti here for Nipivud. I have a guest with me on Zoom. Can you please introduce yourself?
Ulami. I'm Paige Kimiksana Kreps. Tukta Yoktu Miu Soyuyunga. Toronto Miu Mubunga. So I just said that I am Paige Kimiksana Kreps. I am originally from Tukta Yoktu, but I live now in Toronto. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us today. Paige is a community organizer and influencer. Paige, do you want to tell us a little bit about the work that you do with the Toronto Inuit Association, and then a bit about the work you're doing on the side as an influencer in the community?
Yes, thank you. So I am the program coordinator for the Toronto Inuit Association. And we work here in Toronto to provide programs and services for the Toronto Inuit community and those living around Toronto. So we do a lot of cultural programming. I'm actually teaching how to make sealskin ukpik toys next week. And we share country food when we can. And we do a lot of fitness programming and mental health stuff as well. So we basically just want to create the most welcoming space for Inuit here in Toronto. And then on the side, I guess I wouldn't really call it a side hustle because I just do it for fun, but I spend a lot of time on Instagram and recently TikTok. I really like connecting with the community, like Inuit all across Canada and all across the world through Instagram. And I kind of just share about myself and what matters to me.
Mm-hmm. What drew you to Instagram and TikTok?
So I've always been using Instagram. I used it to share photos when I traveled or just what I was doing in school. But it was really when I was living furthest away from the community. I was living in Spain for a year and I was feeling like really far away from the Inuit community and Canada. And I was also like reconnecting. So I didn't know too many people and I was trying to learn more. So I just started following people. I was noticing they were following me back and we were having conversations and it really just became a great way to meet people, to kind of be a part of the community, even though I was so far away. That's kind of just grown as I've met more Indigenous folks in Toronto and just from all over. And then with TikTok, that was also just a thing that I joined for fun at the beginning of the pandemic. I remember saying, I'm never going to have TikTok. That's not for me. I'm too old. And then the second day of lockdown, I'm like, let me join TikTok and like see what it's all about. I spend so many hours on it. I recently went from only watching videos to actually creating my own. And those are just like really fun. It's more about my life as an urban Inuk and, you know, a bit of humor. There are a lot of trends and I try and follow the trends, but put a little like urban Inuit twist on them. And my roommates and my friends and I like doing some like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get the motivation to make videos and to keep up with your accounts in the middle of COVID?
Yeah, I think just seeing everyone being creative around me really motivates me and inspires me. Sometimes there'll be a trend that comes around. So the way that TikTok works is that there's usually like a sound that's from a TV show or somebody just speaking that is really funny and relatable. And then you'll kind of tie that sound back into your theme. So sometimes I'll hear a sound and I'll be like, oh, I have this great idea about how to make it like urban and Inuk. And then I'll sit for a few days and think about it, but then someone else will do it before me. So it's really like whenever you have the idea, you just got to go for it because someone else will come up with that idea. And I don't want that to happen. So I think just knowing how fast the internet works and how much I want to get my humor out there is what motivates me. Yeah.
It sounds like you have to work pretty quickly because the internet is so incredibly yes. quick when it comes to changing things. What has that process been like for you to get started? Did you do research? Did you reach out to other people? Or was it just kind of intuitive?
I wouldn't say I did research, but I just spent a lot of time on these apps and I'll see what my friends and other influencers are doing. I have some good friends that are really good at TikTok and I see how much work they put into it and how much fun they're having. And I try and emulate that. It's really nice and easy to edit, but it does take a bit of practice. So I think just the more you create, the easier it's going to get. And then thinking of themes and stuff and just who you are on the internet, you just really want to be yourself. People are going to see through it if you're not yourself. I heard a quote from Indigenous baddie, Michelle Chubb. She's quite big on TikTok and she said in a podcast that the only thing she can do is be herself because it would be too tiring to keep up a facade of being someone else. And I really think that's the most important thing about being online is being true to yourself. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
With people spending a lot more time on online platforms than ever before, I guess it's easy to quickly become absorbed in these apps. And they can at times be very negative. How do you deal with any negativity?
Yeah, that's a huge topic these days, seeing as so many people are spending so much time. And also TikTok, it's such a young platform, like there's so many youth. So it's really important to remind people that it's not your whole life. And also you can form it the way you want it to be. So part of the body positivity movement, it's really important to me as a plus size woman, is just that you don't have to follow people that make you feel bad about yourself. So you might see a fitness influencer that, you know, is very positive and like motivates people a lot, and it's just generally a nice person, but they don't make you feel good because maybe you don't look like them. It's not your full-time job to exercise, or you don't get sponsorships to eat well. So, you know, like it's really hard to watch those people. So don't feel bad about unfollowing. And also I think one thing that changed for me is I actually went from just watching videos to creating videos, and that makes me more active. I'm not just sitting there all day. I'm actually running around trying to think of these ideas and perform them. So that's better than just spending all day scrolling. But also, yes, it's important to remember that try not to spend all day on it. Try and get outside. Try and interact with your friends in other ways, maybe by phone or FaceTime or something. Like, it doesn't just have to be all online and passively scrolling. Yeah.
Have you experienced any lateral violence or attacks online?
Not really. I'm pretty lucky. I know that it's a big problem, but yeah, I think I've witnessed it happening to other people, and I try and support them in that and make sure that they're not taking it too much to heart. And yeah, I wouldn't say that I've experienced it, but I know it can be really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just as you said, you show support when people are experiencing lateral violence and trying to, I guess, outweigh that lateral violence with lateral kindness.
Yeah. I really love that term, lateral kindness, lateral love, showing that being Inuk isn't just about the trauma. It's about the resurgence, about being there for each other. Like, all of our IQ values are about being community and growing together. So I really try and remind people that we're not just our trauma. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you introduce an inspirational song that you'd like to share with everyone?
Mm-hmm. I really like the song 786 by Becky Hahn, who is another wonderful influencer, educator, lovely person on social media. And I think it's just so upbeat and fun, and it's so unique to Inuit. Hope you enjoy.
786. Sinanu tu sa sa uva. 786.
We're back with Paige Kimitsonak, Inuit community organizer and influencer. Paige, earlier you were speaking to us about videos and the things you've been doing on TikTok and Instagram. You spoke about body positivity. You also did some things around being vaccinated for COVID-19. Do you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah. Obviously, this is one of the biggest topics of this year, and it's really going to shape our future. So I think it's so important for more Indigenous folks to talk about it. A lot of the time you hear only the bad things. I was seeing a post about where only people with bad side effects from the vaccine are going to talk about it, but it really should be, you should know how many people get vaccinated and don't have bad side effects, like me. I was super lucky and didn't really stop me or slow me down at all. But before that even happened, I was seeing so much fake news go around and not accurate information or half accurate information going on around Facebook and Instagram. And people were listening to just friends and family members that weren't really educated. Like, they're not doctors, they're not scientists, but they were just sharing all these clickbait material. And it was really influencing people's decisions to get vaccines or not. And obviously, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but I thought with all the research I've done, I've listened to so many podcasts, actually read like super reputable news sources and stuff. I wanted to make sure people knew that that resource was out there and that they could do their own research and come up with their own informed decisions rather than just listening to what was on the internet. While doing that, while I was sharing some stuff on my Instagram story, some stuff on Facebook status about it, I was realizing that I wasn't always so community centered in my approach. I realized like how much trauma Indigenous people have been through because of the healthcare system. And I was realizing that being nervous about the COVID vaccine wasn't just about this one medicine. It was about like the hundreds of years of trauma we've faced because of the healthcare system. So that's when I started looking more into Indigenous organizations that were putting in work to get good information out there, to make it trauma-informed, to tie like Indigenous medicines into it and more of a holistic view on health. So just making it a little more welcoming to Indigenous folks and understanding that Indigenous people are also putting in work and just making the vaccine information easier to get at and more understandable and just friendlier to Indigenous audiences. So in the end, I guess just you have to pair Western medicine with Indigenous medicine. You know, they go hand in hand. Western medicine isn't always a bad thing. And it's really important to just get that message out there and encourage people to get vaccinated to protect their communities, to protect their elders and knowledge keepers. We really want a time where we can go visit our families up in the north without fear of spreading COVID. And I think getting vaccinated is one of those steps. I'm also super open to hearing other people. And if people have concerns or just questions, feel free to reach out to me. I really want to have like a judgment-free zone to have these conversations.
That was absolutely wonderful. Paige, can you share with our listeners your handle? I think that's what they're called. How do people follow you?
Yes. So I am Paige Kimiksana on both Instagram and TikTok. So that's PAIGEKIMIKSANA, Paige Kimiksana. And then on Facebook, I'm Paige Kimiksana Kreps, and that's K-R-E-P-S. So yeah, I hope you'll hang out with me online.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Is there anything else you wanted to share with our listeners before we go?
Yeah, I guess I just want to say that all these social media platforms, they can be such a great place for community. And it should never make you feel like you're alone or like you don't look like other people or think like other people. It should really be a place that you can curate for yourself to be a positive, welcoming space where you learn a lot. So if it's not feeling like that, feel free to take a break, feel free to unfollow people. Like, you really have the power to make it whatever you want, and also spend time outside if you can. I think that's everything.
As we're leaving, can you leave our audience with a song to end on a high note?
Yeah. So coming from an urban Inuk, I really love this song, Haluna Nunanganit. I hope I pronounced it correctly, by Asiva.
Tina Pisukti here with Olivia Aithi. She's an Inuit community advocate, previously the vice president of the Hadjudjak Youth Council in Nunavik. She graduated from Nunavik Sivunyatsivit in 2019 and now is working with them and doing a lot of work in her community to promote education among youth, promote culture, and also doing a lot of advocacy. Thank you for being here with us today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Tina, for allowing me to speak to urban Inuit. I'm originally from Kutchuk. I moved to Montreal about 2 years ago, so I'm so excited to be connecting with urban Inuit from all across Inuit Nunavut.
That's wonderful. We are so glad to have you here with us on Nipivut today. Can you tell us a little bit about what your journey's been like up until now? You started on a youth council, went to school. now you're working at the very same place that you were studying. What has that been like?
So I'm actually the coordinator of the program now.
Wow.
I'm kind of like the big boss of the program. I was very fortunate to be a student within Nunavik Sivunit Savut. I got to know the inside and out as a student, and now I get to learn the inside out as a staff. And that, I think, makes a coordinator the strongest when you know from bottom to top. You'll do the best work that you can for the students, for the staff, for the program. So I'm really grateful that I got to take the program. I got to graduate through the program. It was a life-changing program for me. And I went to NS for the experience. I needed healing, I needed culture, I needed identity and more confidence to advocate for my people. And that's what NS gave me. And that's what I want to give back to Inuit youth that come to the programs. I've been on mat leave. Corona hit us, I went on mat leave. So I didn't really get to be the coordinator yet, but I'm still working with the team on Facebook, and I'm trying to get out there and promote NS and to get kids interested. I'm always open to youth that have questions about NS. So I really appreciate the program and believe that, to me, NS saves lives. It's a life-saving program. It's not just an academic program. It's a lifesaver, and I think it's really important. And I'm so grateful that I have the chance to help save Inuit lives.
Mm-hmm. For those of our listeners who are less familiar with NS, can you tell us a little bit about the program? This is an accredited program, I believe, that runs from John Abbott College. What kind of things do people learn in this program? And what's the benefit of this program? Because you said it's a lifesaver. You said it wasn't about the credits, it was about the experience. So tell me how, tell me about the setting and what that experience is like for those people who don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I was a second year student. The program is very new. It's only a couple years old. It's kind of mirrored from Nunavut Sivunit Savut, which has been running for over 30 years in Ottawa for Inuit from Nunavut. So in this program, we learn academics. We learn how to write essays. I wrote my first thesis statement at 30 years old. I had no idea what that was. And then the more healing and identity part was what I went there for. What do tattoos mean? Why did they get tattoos? What do the songs mean? You know, we never really got chances to hear those songs and understand the meanings behind them. And literally, you would feel goosebumps. We would cry in class. We were reading documents written by governments about how we were the most untamable savages. And at some points, that makes you angry and it makes you hurt. But then it also gives you determination to show them, like, I'm a badass and you can't tame me. I have my own ways and I'm going to show you my ways. And I find it really lit the fire inside the youth. One of the things that was always being talked about was Satu Ireqnik, to really create a foundation, a base for your identity, for your life and your soul. And I think that's missing a lot within our youth. We're not born just to pay bills and die. I think we have to have a connection with the land, with the songs, with the music, with the plants and everything. And I think that's lost, and bringing that back in the modern world is hard because it's 2021. We're mixed Inuit. I'm white, you're black. So it's 2021. We're not going to go back to the land and in igloos, but we have to bring those connections back in new ways. And I think NS helps youth figure out how to do that. Everybody has their own way of doing that.
Mm-hmm. And this project also happens in a pretty nice environment because you guys are over at the Abadak Cultural Institute, where you have your own space. I'm sure that makes a huge difference in terms of being able to be in a space that feels maybe safe and not being in a huge university environment. Would you say that this adds to the program?
That it really helps. And like a lot of us, we're from different communities. We don't know each other. But as Inuit, you know, you see an Inuk on the street, you know them just because you're Inuk. You don't even need to know them, but you know them. Mm-hmm. So when you have that connection, that instant connection, in a small classroom of 20 students and nobody else, there's not 400 other kids. It's just you and your people that you don't know, but you know.
Can you introduce an artist and song that inspires you?
Yes, I want to introduce my Khatapik, Elisapi Isaac from Salluit. My family is from Salluit. I grew up around Elisapi Isaac. I played with her dog outside of her house and everything. And her song, Agna, is so powerful. The video is so powerful to see my community and my people so strong in the video. The message of the song to not give up and to be powerful Inuit and to be supportive and to be the grandmother, the mother, the father is amazing. And I think that's what our youth are going to grow up to be powerful. So Elisapi Isaac, Agna.
Arna wama ino se khaitara nalini khaitara taima tsaina nuiti ni ravio sorlo taqatoti poi urtaeli na kipimmangarpit arna wama.
Thank you.
are back with Olivia Aiki, Inuit community advocate from Nunavik. Olivia, earlier you spoke to us about NS and the importance of NS and how it's a life-saving program for young Inuit looking for identity, looking to learn more about themselves and their history. Outside of the work that you do with NS, you also do a lot of advocacy for Inuit. Can you tell us about the work that you've been doing in the community?
I've been doing a lot of work. I started this as a 15-year-old angry little girl who was sick of the way my community was hurting, sick of the way people came into my community and took advantage of that hurt. They had stereotypes, there was racism, and I'm privileged and I'm not privileged because I look like a white person. And that helps me create connections with white people that are coming to my community to help or not help. And I feel like they kind of trust me a bit more and educate them a bit more. So I've always used my different identities to take advantage of different things. But also it hurts because I look white. So when I see Inuit in Montreal, I see that they're Inuit. They don't see me. I'm a white person to them, and that hurts. It all started when I was 15 years old. I was a really bad student. My teachers always told me, your attitude is not going to take you very far, but my damn attitude is the only thing that has taken me anywhere. My big mouth is the only one that's taken me anywhere. And it's very scary when you're going to go not against things that are being done, but trying to find a better way to do it that other people didn't see. I was always in trouble. I was always in the office. I always had to write lines. So might as well do it. I started realizing around 17, 18, I might as well get in trouble for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. So I joined my youth committee. I started a youth committee in my community and we started doing small activities and it all started with that. And I worked for Saputit Youth Association, which was the regional organization representing Inuit youth in Nunavik. I was the staff. I started learning from the president, from the vice president, the treasurer, how these programs work. And my fire was lit there to really be an official advocate for my people, like sit on boards and sit in meetings. It was really fueled by anger, all this work I have done. I work a lot on all different kinds of things that we face: housing, suicide, mental health, culture and identity, education. And because every one of those are connected to each other, the first thing I ever did to get involved provincially, I was Saputit staff, and I got super angry I wasn't getting a house. So I wrote a 4-page letter just completely telling the truth of how the system works and how it's encouraging young children to drop out of school and have children in order to get a house, because we have social housing systems with these point systems. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever really said that out loud. And I was asked if I would want to speak to Pauline Marois, which at the time was the premier of Quebec. And I had no idea who this woman was. I was like, yeah, I'm going to come and speak to her and I'm going to tell her. And that started my kind of like political career within government was fueled by anger. But that made me realize they have no idea. They have no idea. They cannot help us. They cannot give us funding. They cannot give us infrastructure if they do not know the truth. So I say, what I'm doing is I'm just sharing my truth. It's not wrong. My truth is not wrong. My truth is real. And I find it very important for Inuit to share their truth, even though other people do not agree with it. It's our truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of work.
Where can individuals go to get information or to follow anything that you're doing?
I have an Instagram page, my artist page. I'm also an artist. I make jewelry. And I really, I want it to be a movement. I call it the Inuk Chick. I really want Inuit chicks to like feel good about themselves, because when I was a teenager, I was embarrassed to wear a parka in the city. I was embarrassed to have uluk earrings, you know? And this Inuk chick persona that I created, that I want to explode in the north, is really creating confident Inuk chicks. For me, it's very therapeutic. Art is very therapeutic for me. I don't do it really to make money. I do it as therapy and to give young Inuit girls, because, you know, some of the jewelry Inuit make is very expensive. You want walrus tusks, it's like $200. So I try to make cheap, affordable jewelry for young Inuk chicks.
Are there any maybe sites or resources, organizations that you would like to share with our listeners, places where they can go to get information, get more education?
There's a program that I found, me and a friend found by pure fluke on Facebook. It was called the Canadian Roots Exchange Program. And this is the program that really helped me understand the history and to help me kind of become a facilitator of workshops and programs. And they have Indigenous teams all across Canada, and they're always looking for Inuit. So Canadian Roots Exchange is an amazing program that you guys should check out. Kairos Blanket Exercise. People have heard of the Blanket Exercise. Kairos is the organization that created this. It's blowing up. This program is coming out more. So it's very important that Inuit have a say in that also, because a lot of First Nations history is coming out. I always found Alak's natives are louder than us. And one time I was so angry and I wanted to have a protest on the streets in my community and wave signs and everything. And everybody was telling me, we're not Indians. We're not Alak's. We don't do that. If you don't want to protest and you don't want to speak up because you're not an Indian, then we're going to take what we get and we can't complain about it. So I think it's very important that us as Inuit be louder. We need to be louder. We have no choice. We can't sit here and be quiet anymore.
A very different take, and it's something we saw a lot from the students at Nunavut Savunitsivut, where they were doing a lot of protest over on Parliament Hill when it came to sealing, and where we're seeing a lot more young Inuit engaging in protests, and where we recently saw protests by people of every age group in Nunavut when it came to the Baffinland expansion. And so I think this is something that maybe has taken a little bit more time, that yes, is maybe really uncomfortable for some Inuit. We're always asked to be humble, but I think this is changing a lot, right? This is not what it used to be. And it's hopeful to see we have young people doing it, but we're starting to see elders and other people come out in support. And I think that change is slowly coming. And so although you said you were angry and you said you want people to come out and protest and do all these movements, I think we're getting there. Thank you so much for sharing with us. It was lovely speaking with you. Is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we go?
Just want to say hi to my Inuhatiks and say hi to the youth out there and let them know that it gets hard. It sucks. It truly does, especially in this kind of world we're living in, the pandemic and everything. But I think, like I said, Inuit, we don't need to know you, but we know each other just because we're Inuit.
Thank you so much. Can you leave us on a high note, introduce one of your favorite feel-good songs?
Jerry Cans translated a song by the Tragically Hip called Ahead by a Century, and the words in Inuktitut are so beautiful. It's saying to the youth, Sila tu yuvutit, you are wise. Silak, you have the world, you have our surroundings in you. You are ahead by a century. So Jerry Can, Sila tu yuvutit, I dedicate that to the Inuit youth of the world. You are wise. You will find that and you will have the fight to stay alive. So Sila tu yuvutit.
Kusong nga atong gluni taktik iti simabu nunak kating ni nagligusong ng midlo ikpigusong ng midlo. Wearing a mask is a way to show your community love and care.
Dusa simiyavot Northern Haze ing itiluwit ang ayuksakulo.
Ang ayuksakulo ay isumagiyakulo ay ang ayuksakulo ay ikaw mabaginay. Maria Kurai, Ana Yuksa Kurai, Ipa Maragina, Ana Yuksa Kurai, Anigue Yukurai, Ana Yuksa Kurai, Nakligi Vagina.
Thank you for listening to Nipigut. Our theme song is by Angela Amagualik. This episode was made by me, Nancy Angilak, Annie Pisukti, Jennifer May, Tina Pisukti, Alexa Kiliutak, and Carl Bauer. Thanks to Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association, and CKUT 90.3 FM. Tune in this time next week to Urban Indigenous Radio. And we will come back May 25th. Stay tuned for Soul Perspectives coming next. Kuyan na may narasakas si Nipibug Kuno. Tusang nasakta bu Angela Amawari. Tan na pirakisakta ka Nancy Angilak. Tina Pisukti. Ani Pisukti. Jennifer May. Alexa Kiliutak. Amma Cara Bauer. Kuyan na may Concordia University. Sa kanyang Quebec Inuit Association Kulu, CKUT 90.3 FM. Tusang na, narak kanirak po si, tusaksaw kanirarang migutta. Urban Indigenous Radio. Tusang nang nakdabu, Soul Perspectives.
Listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Le Festival Nuit d'Afrique, the rendezvous of world music, invites you to the 36th edition from the 12th to the 24th of July in Montreal. Do not miss one of Brazil's most amazing vocalists, Fabiana Coza, the pillars of Jinawi tradition, Mukhtar Ghania, and Jinawa Soul. the electric blues of the fabulous Dawn Tyler Watson, live moments of pure beauty with a South African performance by Derek Gripper and the griot of Corazal Kisisoko. For the full program and tickets, go to festivalnuitdafrique.com.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening, wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. Screaming that they can body that. Pull the gang, leave them up in the body bag. If y'all don't get it, we're taking all.